Welcome to Missionary Echoes, an outreach ministry of the Lebanon God's Missionary Church. I'm Pastor Joel, and it's so good to have you join us today.
Dare to run with our eyes fixed on Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run. We must have our Savior's vision, compassion for the lost, courage for the future, love at any cost. Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run.
This morning, we're looking further into the life of David, on yet another difficult time that David would face. Pastor Going is taking Psalm 57 as a text as he begins this sermon.
I want you to turn with me to the 57th Psalm. And you've been sitting for a while. A couple of you look like you didn't get your coffee this morning. So, would you stand with me? And I want us to read Psalm 57. We're going to read it together responsively. I'll read the first verse, and you'll read the following verse in response, and so on and so forth until verse number 11, and we'll read that verse in unison. I might have asked you to stand 1 minute too soon, but you're going to just hold tight a second, because I want to set the stage for this psalm. After David's victory over Goliath and the Philistines, where we were last Sunday, David became a national hero overnight. But over a period of time, his relationship with Saul deteriorated to the point that he became the most wanted man in all of Israel. And so for a number of years, David finds himself on the run. He's hiding. He's doing what he can to preserve his life from Saul. There's a group of people who gather around him, his own men, basically his own militia. And for part of that time, he finds himself hiding in a cave, the cave of Adullam. It's a cave, scholars tell us, likely on the border of the Dead Sea, about 6 miles southeast of the little village of Bethlehem where David was from. And it's while David is in this cave that he writes the words of this psalm that we're going to read together this morning. So I want you to imagine David in a cave writing this beautiful psalm. And think about it as we read this in the context of what you know about those years that David was running from Saul. Let's read together. Again, I'll read the first verse and you'll read in response. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I take my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah, think on this. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth.
My soul is on the rise,
and be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise.
Away, God, my glory, away, psaltery and harp,
I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. And in unison, be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. May God add his blessing to the reading of his precious, inerrant word this morning. You may be seated. From the very beginning, when we're first introduced to Saul, the contrast between Saul and David's character is very sharp. When we first meet Saul, he was responsible for tending to his father's donkeys. And I can't help but wonder if maybe there's a little bit of humor intended in the fact that Saul was given donkey duties while David tended to beautiful, peaceful sheep. And not only that, but when we first meet Saul, apparently he has fallen short of the responsibility that his father gave him to tend to the donkeys. He's lost his father's donkeys. And from what we're given in the biblical record, it's hard to imagine that David would have lost any of his father's sheep. And not only that, but while they were looking for the donkeys, it wasn't Saul. It was Saul's servant who was taking the initiative. And he's the one who suggested, let's reach out to Samuel for help and see if he might be able to tell us where the donkeys are. And in contrast, David took initiative to single-handedly fight against lions and bears to defend his father's flock. And you have to wonder, could it be if from the very beginning, the writer of Scripture was giving us some little subtle insight, indicators, into the inner character of Saul and David and how very different they were from a very young age? The kids, I want you to look up from your coloring books or your activity bags or whatever it is that you're doing for just a minute, all right? Listen in. I want to remind you that the habits that you pick up when you're kids or when you're a teenager will follow you the older you get. And so the attitudes that you have, the way you act, whether you do good things or bad things, really matters while you're a kid. And all the parents said, amen. Proverbs 20, chapter 11 says, even a child is known by his doings, by what he does, whether his work is pure, whether it's right. And so even kids have a reputation. And all the Sunday school teachers said, amen. People know, kids, whether you're respectful or disrespectful, whether you're obedient or disobedient, whether you're a helper or not. And life is a series of choices that you make to be obedient or disobedient to your parents, to be responsible or irresponsible. And all of those character traits will shape the person that you become as you grow up. And Saul seemed to have some real problems with responsibility when he was young. But the weakness of his inner character got bigger and led to worse problems the older he got. And after Saul became king, there was that unfortunate event at Gilgal where Saul impatiently ignored God's instruction and made a sacrifice that wasn't his to make. And then there was the matter of the Amalekites, where Saul's been instructed, kill every animal, slaughter the people, don't take any spoil. But he foolishly spares the best animals, and he keeps King Agag alive so he can gloat in his victory. And as a result of his rebellion, Saul learns that the throne will be taken from him, and the Spirit of the Lord departed from him. And for Saul, his life was one continual staircase downward until his shameful death. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 10, there's two verses that really give the final analysis of why Saul failed, why he ended the way he did. The writer there said, Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he didn't keep. and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit. He's talking about the witch of Endor. And this is another one of the reasons that Saul fell. I think one of the main reasons. Saul inquired not of the Lord. Saul didn't seek for God's direction in his life. And therefore, the scripture says that God slew him and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse. So if you boil it all down, the tragedy of Saul's life was that Saul trusted Saul. His hope was not in the Lord. He didn't humble himself to seek God's direction. He did not love the Lord. He did not love God's word. He did not follow in God's commandments. Saul's trust was in himself. And so as a result of his misplaced trust, he forfeited God's blessing. And in his life, it resulted in fear and madness and suicide. But this morning, the focus of our sermon, and what I want you to see, is how David's heart and the whole direction of his life stands in sharp contrast to the mess that Saul made of his. Saul's trust was in Saul, but as David sits in the cave of Adullam and he writes this beautiful psalm that we've read this morning, what we find is that David's heart is focused and established on honoring God and walking in God's ways. And as you look at the narrative of David's life from 1 Samuel chapter 16, where he's anointed, and on through until when Saul dies and David begins his kingship, you can't read that without seeing the pattern of David's life that he genuinely believed, and he showed by the way that he lived, he believed that God's way is best, that God's commandments are good, that God can be trusted. And the record of David's life in these years, from his anointing up to the time that he becomes king, shows us David's trust was in the Lord. David trusted in God's will. David trusted in God's word. David trusted in God's plan and God's timing and God's purposes. That was at the core of David's life. And so his trust in God shaped the kind of person who he was. It shaped the decisions that he made. It shaped the way that he made decisions. It determined his direction. And as we look through all of these chapters, I told you a couple weeks ago when we started, David's life, there's so much material on David's life. If we were to go chapter by chapter, we'd be here a long time. And so there's a real sense this morning in which we're going to kind of treat the scriptures like a photo album. And we're going to point out just a few different pictures, a few different scenes from Saul's life that demonstrate what I'm talking about. But I also want to anchor this to Psalm 57. And I think that as we look at David's trust in God and the results of that trust, we'll learn some things about the trust that we should have and how that will impact our lives. So I want you to notice, I'm going to give you sort of a blueprint for where we're headed. In Psalm 57:1, David said, "My soul trusteth in thee. I'll make my refuge in thee." And then in the following verses, he gives us what I believe are four evidences for results of his trust, and I'm going to give them to you quickly. The first evidence is in verse 2. He said, "I will cry unto God Most High." And so result number one of trusting in God is this. Real trust results in the humility of seeking and following God's guidance. The second evidence of David's trust is found in verse 3. This is while he's in the cave, he's running for his life. David says, "God will send from heaven and save me." So result number two of his trust is that real trust results in real rest in God's plan. The third evidence of David's trust is found in verse 7. David says, "My heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed." And result number three of real trust in God is that that kind of trust results in steady faithfulness to God. And then we're going to see the fourth evidence of David's trust in verse 5, and then in verses 7b through 11, he says, I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. And result number 4 is that real trust results in heartfelt praise and thanksgiving. So let's open this picture album of Scripture, and I'm going to give you one example for each of these results of David's trust in God. And for the first picture, we're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 23. This is a moment when David has gotten word the Philistines are stealing grain from the Israelites at Keilah, a city in Judah. And rather than just making assumptions and running into that city to their defense and rushing in to take care of business and mop up the Philistines, David pauses and he seeks for God's direction. And the Bible tells us about David's prayer. David asked the Lord, should I go and take care of these Philistines in Keilah? And the Lord told him to go. But his men are afraid. They don't know what's going to happen. They don't want to fight the Philistines. And so David goes and he asks the Lord again. And again, the Lord speaks and he says, go down to Keilah. I'll help you to conquer the Philistines. And so David, having sought God's direction, now goes to Keilah with his men, with the confidence that God has told him to go, and he attacks the Philistines, he defeats them, he takes all their livestock, they rescue the people of Keilah, and God gives David a great victory. But David only went after he sought the Lord's direction. And then right in that same chapter, David bumps up against another problem. Saul, you remember, has been pursuing him. And he's been hiding, David's been hiding, but now Saul gets word about this victory at Keilah, and so Saul knows where David is. And Saul gets word, or David gets word, that Saul and 3,000 of his men are coming after him. And David needs to decide, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? And so he did the same thing he did when he first started running from Saul, the same thing he did when he heard about the Philistine threat at Keilah. David prayed, and he asked God for direction. Oh, Lord God of Israel, I've heard that Saul is planning to come. Will the leaders of Keilah betray me to Saul? Will Saul come as I've heard? Lord, please give me direction. I need guidance. And the Lord spoke to David. He said, yes, Saul will come. And so David prayed again. Will the leaders of Keilah betray me and my men to Saul? And the Lord said, yes, they'll betray you. And so David and his men are able to escape before Saul shows up. And what I want you to see here is this contrast. Here's Saul, who did not seek the Lord's direction, who did not call out to God for help, and he's instead guided by his own impulses, his own pride, his own self-sufficiency, his own anger. And so he rushes headlong into all kinds of problems. While again and again, the pattern of David's life, typically before he moves, he prays. Before he moves, he seeks for God's direction. He seeks for the Lord's guidance. Now, in this particular instance, in 1 Samuel chapter 23, David received a very clear answer from the Lord. And if you're anything like me, you've often wished when you prayed that you would have clear answers all the time. Wouldn't that be outstanding? You pray, Lord, I've got this problem. Would you please help me? And then you open up your email and you've got an email from God. It's a bulleted point list. This is what I want you to do. This is when I want you to do it. I'm going to work it all out. And you just go along for the ride step by step. Now, I do believe there are times when God gives us very clear answers. I've experienced his guidance. He will guide us. But I'm going to tell you, for David, in this instance, he got a clear answer. But there were many days and many nights when David went to sleep at night and he wasn't sure what was going on. And he didn't know what was coming next. And he didn't know what he was going to be facing in the next day. And he didn't have the clarity that God gave him here in chapter 23. He lived in uncertainty. And real trust has confidence and faith in God's wisdom and God's goodness, even when we don't have clarity in the moment.
God picked up a sparrow that could no longer fly. He brushed off its wounds and then watched it soar into the sky. If he's mindful of creation, on this I can depend. I am his child, and I can place all my trust in him. I can trust Jesus. I can trust Jesus. Kept right on trusting in his word. My wants and God's desires don't always agree, but I lean on his will, for he always knows what's best for me. I can trust Jesus. I can trust Jesus. He never once has failed to meet my need.
That was the Collingsworth family with the song, I Can Trust Jesus. You've been listening to a sermon shared by Pastor Curtis Going on David and trusting God in difficult times. If you have any questions about this message or you'd like to talk with someone about your relationship with God, give us a call at 717-273-3690 or send us an email at lebgmc@gmail.com. We'd be happy to talk with you on the phone or schedule a time when we could meet with you in person. We'd love to have you join us in worshiping our Lord at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania, with Sunday school at 9:30, worship service at 10:30, and 6 o'clock this evening. We also have a prayer and praise service on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock p.m. For more information about the church and other upcoming events, visit our website at lebanongmc.com, where you can also watch the services live. You can also follow us on social media. Just look for Lebanon God's Missionary Church on Facebook or Instagram. The Cassidy family will close out our program today with the song, I Choose to Trust. I hope you'll be able to join us next week for another edition of Missionary Echoes. I'm Pastor Joel, wishing you our Lord's blessing.
Have you ever been beaten low? The doubts and questions are lurking so. That is when the tempter always comes. You wonder if our God's the same. You wonder if He knows your name. In spite of all your doubts, just say to Him, I choose to trust the God I cannot see. I choose to walk the path He chose for me. I choose to love the one who gave His life for me. I choose to put my faith and trust in Christ. God said in His word so deep, draw nigh to me, and I'll draw near. Resist the evil one, and he must flee. So then, my friend, take up your shield. To Satan's darts you must never yield. Take courage, lift up your heart to God and say, I choose to trust the God I cannot see. I choose to walk the path He chose for me. I choose to love the one who gave His life for me. I choose to put my faith and trust in Christ. I choose to trust.